This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's your breath in our lungs, Father. It's not our breath, but it's your breath which you've given us. With its breath, Father, we're praising your name. And we thank you, Father, for everything that we've got. It's from you, Father. If it was about the money, Lord, where Urbanus has been speaking about, if it is the bones or whatever body we've got, the breath in our lungs, everything is from you, Father. You're great and you're awesome. And that is the way how we come to you, Father. We want to receive from you. We haven't got anything. We've got nothing. But you've got everything and you want to give us everything, Father. That we can come with open hands this afternoon and that you're going to fill us, Father. Fill us with your words. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Urbanus to give a testimony of last week.
On Sunday, while we were worshiping, there was a song we were singing about the lion and the lamb. Yeah, and then as we were worshiping, I saw like a cloud, which came and rested somewhere here. I was seated, the place where Eunice is seated, and then when I was worshiping, I felt like. Have you ever seen when you are standing in the sun and then a shadow passes by you? Then I felt like a shadow passed by me. Then I thought like a tall person passed through me. So I opened my eyes to see, but there was nobody. So I closed my eyes again. Then I heard this word, like, "The God who works miracles is walking in front of you." That's the word I had. Then I had a person pass, and then their cloth touched me. Then I opened my eyes again. Then I checked there was nobody, and I was so terrified. Then I was convicted, like, yeah, I never get terrified. But I was so terrified. Then I saw an angel passing with a white robe, looked like a wedding dress with a wing and another one. Then passed through. Then I was like, oh, I'm so terrified. I never opened my eyes. Then I had a tap on my back. Then I checked. I wanted to see if a person is calling me, but it wasn't. But it was like I felt the conviction that the angels of the Lord were here, and the presence of God was here. And then the thing that came into my mind is that the Lord is leading us through this cloud of glory to the place where he wants us to be. And it was like there was some inner peace. I don't know how I can explain it. And some feeling of contentment inside me. I cried. I never cry. But it was so overwhelming, it was so peaceful and so joyous. And I thank the Lord. Today, I wanted to share this. The Lord has taught me this all year is a pool, the pool of Siloam. That is the word which came. And it is a place of healing of all broken people. So if you have people who are depressed at home, just bring them here. At Siloam, Jesus would tell them, like, go and wash yourself. If you are blind, those who were lame, those who had diseases, those who were cursed. Then I was like, wow. So those who are struggling with sexual immorality, those who are struggling with cigarettes, those who are struggling with whatever, just bring them to the church because they will get healed. That is what I have felt. So before we went for prayer, I met a guy, he was bringing me something outside. Then he asked me, what are you doing here? I told him, this is a church. Then he told me, my mother is always never feeling well, but she has been looking for a church. Perhaps I will come with her on Sunday. Then it was a confirmation that this is the pool of Siloam. So no matter whatever you are struggling with, anxiety, whatever, you are at the right place.
Thanks a lot, Urbanus. Is there anyone else who feels that the Lord has been speaking to you during worship? And please come and share.
Yeah, I want to God to give me strength to talk because it's not so easy. But last Sunday, I was sitting in the chair praying just for my own things, and I heard a voice that said, "Stand up, Linda, stand up," like very powerful. And I just, when I stand up, I saw an army rising up in prayers, and I saw everyone praying like from their hearts here. And I was I kept praying, and I heard that we should be praying more for like Linda, don't pray for your own things, but pray, and I send you to pray for other people, and also tell everyone in this church that we need to pray for everyone. And then he said, and now you have to tell them. And I was, no, not me. And then I was in this discussion with God, that no, not me. And then Eunice just looked at me like, Linda, tell me. And I didn't want to tell her what God, she was asking me. And I really want to hear if God told you something, because I think that also God told you something. Because I was in this fight that I don't want to say, and then she came, and then still she told me, Linda, tell me what God is telling you. And I was like, no, I felt like, God, why me? Why are you telling me if I have so many things that are not so good in my life like I wish? But then Eunice hugged me, and she started praying and giving me like this, I don't know how you call it, but then I could, okay, I don't even believe it myself what I'm receiving from God, but I heard that we have to pray, and I have to tell everyone in the church that we are called really to pray, and that here is like a big, I don't know, I don't have the words in English, but the el poder we have, that power to pray for others, and that's what God wants from us. I heard that He hears everyone's prayers, and these prayers can, that we can pray also for other people.
Thanks a lot, Linda. Last week I wasn't here. I was on the other side of the earth. I was in South Africa, and I attended a pastor summit over there. And it's actually awesome. We were anything around 60, 70 pastors from South Africa, from Namibia, from Burundi. I was the one who came the furthest from the Netherlands. And it was actually awesome to be over there and to hear from different places, and to be, I nearly would say, recharged again, to come back and to hear how other people are working, other problems they've got at other sites, or whatever is happening with that church or with that church, and so on and so on. And yes, it actually was awesome. It was an awesome place in that way that it was more than enough food, very good companionship, fellowship over there. And then also, if we were sitting in a hall, and if we looked outside, then we saw the next picture. So that also shows you that we were at the right place over there. Where the Netherlands is reasonable flat, and you're sitting in a hall the whole day, and you look outside, and you see the mountain over there, it's good for a person's soul. So I really enjoyed it over there, that I could see the mountains and the rain. It was cold there as well, and so I'm enjoying it that I can take off my coat every year. And then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where do you want me to preach about? And then the Lord said, shofar. I said, Lord, but what exactly? And then he gave me the 3 points. The shofar, the meaning of the shofar. Then also, what is actually, how shofar has been used, and what it's spiritual-wise, what it means for us, and how we must have a look at the shofar and the sound of the shofar. In the summit over there as well, there was one of the churches, somebody made a type of a prophetic painting. And that painting you also maybe can show now. There it is. And there you can see that the shofar has been used and it is running oil out of it as well. So that is fresh oil coming out of the shofar. And it's a reminder that we are anointed to go around and to do the good work. And that's linking up with what Linda has been saying. It's not what is in there for me, but what can we give to the other people around us and to deliver to those who are oppressed by the enemy. So there was an awesome painting which was shown over there. Again, the pastor brought it, didn't know where the summit was actually going about, what was the subjects which were spoken on, and at a certain time he took it out, took the wrapping off, and there you could see, okay, but that's where it is about. And that one linked in beautiful. And then we say again, thank you, Lord, thank you for the awesome painting what you instructed somebody to paint. The meaning of the shofar actually means that it is a ceremonial ram's horn. There are two of them. There's the one which is the bigger one, which is made from a kudu horn, and they drill a hole in it and then you can blow it. The reason why I'm blowing it, you will find it out later in the sermon, that you must know that this sound what you're hearing now is coming from a shofar. This is not for ladies, it's for everyone. It is a little bit smaller, but it's also that you can blow it. So those two were used, and we can see it in the Hebrew, that it, in Hebrew's tradition as well, that it has been used many times. It was for blowing, but it was also when the hole was not in the, and specifically the smaller one, when it was not in the horn, then they used it for containing oil as well, when they anointed the people. The translation or the word which has been used most of the time, right through the whole Bible, is the word trumpet. But if we go and have a look at the word trumpet, then we will see that sometimes there's a different translation for that word trumpet. And yeah, that the trumpet we know is actually a brass instrument which has been made by human hands. But if we take a look at the shofar, it has got another meaning. And in biblical times, it had several uses. It was used, for instance, to announce the advent of times of seasons, and the Hebrew people are still using it. So they blow then the shofar, so they, with that, they announce that they move into a new season or with festivities. It was also a pitcher for oil, like I just now said, when they were anointing or inducting the kings or the priests. It's more the smaller one. Because if you take the bigger one, there is, I think, a liter or two which is going in there. So if you anoint that person with that liter or two, then that person is going to be anointed then. And then it's also that they used it in signaling that they were going a summons of war. Come together, we've got to fight. And those are the three what we can actually find in the Bible. And I want to go through a few places where the shofars have been blown and or have been sounded, whatever you want to mention it, in the Bible, and to see what is actually the meaning, what is going along with it. And as I was busy with it yesterday evening, I was just so surprised again that what it actually means and how much value there is in it. Because we think shofar, okay, it's just another name or anything like that. But it has got such a deep meaning. After this sermon, you're not going to forget it. I'll tell you. First one is when the Lord spoke to Moses in Exodus 19, verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud," and it's most probably the same cloud where you've been talking about, Urbanus, "that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And then he told them, you've got to sanctify yourselves for 3 days. You've got to spiritually be clean. And they also were warned, if they were going to touch the Mount Sinai, then it would be killed. And then it came to pass after the 3 days then. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning. God is not working in evenings. He's working in the morning. We can have a look at right through the whole Bible. They all, Joshua, stood up early in the morning, early in the morning, early in the morning. So if you want to do something for the Lord, early in the morning. Then it came to... Okay, I'm not going to react on that. Then I came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thundering and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud. They didn't blow the trumpet. God blew the trumpet. There was a thundering and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet, I nearly want to say blown by God, was very loud. So, by the angels. So that all the people who were in the camp trembled. When I blew that shofar, you must probably also felt a little bit of a shivering, because it is a... can be a little bit of an overwhelming sound, the shofar, when it is blown. And then the word trumpet over there is coming out of the Strong's shofar. It's not a sofa, but it's a shofar. A cornet. There's one in the congregation at the moment, her name is cornet, has given a clear sound, or a curved horn, and it's a cornet, it's a trumpet. And then once that has happened, that they saw the presence of God over there, that they experienced the presence of God, God gave them the Ten Commandments. But God said, give all your love for me. And give, and you should be unselfish with your love for the other people around you. And then it happened in Exodus a little bit further, in Exodus 20. Now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning, flashes, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and they stood far off. And they said to Moses, Moses, you can speak with us and we will listen to you, but let God not speak with us, lest we die. So they were so afraid. They were so under the impression of the presence of God. And the sound of shofar was part of that. So the sound of shofar was going along with the presence of God. What we can see here then with Moses, and when Moses was speaking to the Lord. A little later, the Lord also spoke to Moses, and he said, make 2 silver trumpets. And the silver trumpets, and he said to Moses, make 2 silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling of the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. So they were used not really for a spiritual, but more for the practical, so that the people could hear it, that they could hear the trumpet, that they could hear the trumpet which has been made, and that they could react on it, calling the congregation and for the directing of the movements of the camp. And again, if we take a look at the word, and if we go into the Strong's, then we see that the word, it's not the shofar. It is kachosh rav. Anyway, my pronunciation is not correct, but you know, you can read it as well. It's a trumpet for its surrendered or quavering note. That is, it's a different trumpet. It's not the same trumpet. So if you read somewhere in the Bible, trumpet, it's not always that it is a shofar. It can also be a trumpet which has been made by man for a specific purpose. Joshua was also spoken to by the Lord. And Joshua, the same as Moses, was a spirit-filled man. God, even in Numbers, I haven't got a verse over here, in Numbers 27:18, God even said to Moses, lay your hand on Joshua. He was spirit-filled. Joshua 6:2-5. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its kings and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And a seventh priest shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow the trumpets, the shofars. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet of the shofar, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. And we can see over here that the wall which has been built by human beings couldn't withstand the power of God. And God wants to work through people, as God wants to work through us as well. God worked over there through Joshua. If Joshua lived today, and if he was a general in the American army, and with respect, President Trump would have said, you must take in Amsterdam, and you walk 7 times around it. I don't think that Joshua would have done it, would have said, sorry, you can go, but I'm not going. How are you going to conquer a town? By walking around it, by shouting and blowing a shofar. But it's the power of God. God has given an instruction. Joshua was obedient. And then the power of God could flow through Joshua, through the people. And it's also that it wasn't only that the wall fell over where Joshua was standing. It was everywhere. So God was working through everybody, through each and every one of the Israelites. It wasn't in that you had a neighbor standing next to you who could shout a little bit harder and his wall fell a little bit harder or his hole was a little bit bigger. No, it fell everywhere. So all the people could walk through. And that we also have got to keep in mind. God wants to work through each and every one of us. It's not limited only to one or two people who can shout a little bit harder. No, it's for all of us. That power from God is for all of us. Mobilizing the people for a godly war. They also used the trumpet for that. Gideon was one who experienced that. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, the shofar. And the Abishrites gathered behind him. Again, God is telling him, take 300 people and go and fight those people. And what did they have when they went and when they start fighting with it? They had a torch. They had a top of a barrel, a jar which they could have over the torch so that people couldn't see the light, and they had a shofar. That's all that they had. And with that, they went. And that army left. That army was sent away. Again, Gideon did as Joshua. God instructed them, they trusted God, and they did. Logically, would have said, no, you can't. How are you going to fight? The other people have got spears and they've got swords and shields. How are you going to fight with them? With a torch, and with a barrel, and with a shofar. You maybe can hit somebody with a shofar, but then I can tell you it will break because this one already has a piece broken off. So you're not going to do much with it. But they trusted God and they did what God wanted to do, and the enemy was defeated over there. The trumpet was also sounded, or the shofar was sounded, when the ark was brought into the temple in Solomon's time. And it was that the cloud was also so thick that the priest couldn't enter the temple over there. But again, they were blowing the shofars at the same time over there. In Ezra, when they were rebuilding the temple, and where they finished the foundations, they also blew the shofar over there. And of the people there, they started crying because they could remember how the temple was at that time, and that it could start over here again. Nehemiah is another one where also the trumpet, the shofar, has been blown. And that was used to get the people together. They were working and busy with rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem, so they were spread all around Jerusalem because they were rebuilding the walls at different places. But listen what they know. If you're going to sound the trumpet, what's going to happen? Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall, because they were busy with rebuilding the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, whenever you hear the sound of the shofar, rally to us there. So they had different places where they could come together. Our God will fight for us. They knew it. They were doing a work which God instructed them to do. And they were blowing the shofar as a type of a WhatsApp, Anjali can say, to get the people together. But they knew God was behind it, and God was going to bless it, and God will fight for us. And then the next verse is the one which actually, when I read it, I thought, yes. Fortunately, I know the sound of a shofar. Let me read the first. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. This is with the rapture. With the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet, the shofar of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. If you hear the shofar, and if you know the sound of shofar, and if you're going to hear a shofar, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to come back. And you're privileged because you know the sound of a shofar. Yes, we're also going to hear the archangel. We're going to hear the shout. We're going to hear that voice of the archangel. But we're going to hear the trumpet of God. We're going to hear the presence of God. We're going to hear that shofar, which they used to reflect the presence of God. In Revelations, and that's the last one, there were seven angels who had seven trumpets. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And then the seven trumpets, as they were blowing the trumpets, it announced actually the end time plagues over there. But there we can see the seven, which we saw in the beginning as well, it's coming back again over here, that we can see at the final end, that they were announcing, that they were using the trumpets, the shofars, to announce in God's presence over there as well. It's fine for those people in the Bible, you most probably will say, but okay, what's happening with me now? What's happening with me now here in Utrecht? How this shofar, what must I learn from it today? When we take a look at those places, what they've been using the shofar in the Bible, then we see the first thing what we see out of it, that the blowing of the shofar is reflecting the presence of God. It is when it in Exodus what it was blown over there, the presence of God was over there. And the last verse what we read just now, when Jesus is going to come back, the presence of God is going to be there. So the presence of God, continuously, we've got to be aware of it. Continuously, we must know that God is present. It's not that we came over here to, because the presence of God is over here. No, we came over here together as believers. But the presence of God is everywhere. It's everywhere where we seek Him. If it is in our work, if it is at the place where we study, or if it is in the street, or in the bus, or the train, God is everywhere. The other spiritual connection what we can make to the blowing of the shofar is the obedience to His instruction. If God has given us a certain instruction, then we can do it. And we know that what God has told us to do will happen. Because He's got the power. A Joshua and a Gideon wouldn't have done it if they didn't trust God. Gideon was a little bit doubtful. He first had to put that piece of animal skin outside and just test if it was wet or not wet and things like that. But at the final end, he did it. And it happened. It happened as God has told him to do. So the obedience to His instruction is also what we can see when the shofar is blown, that people put the trust in God. We also have got instructions. Certain times we've got instructions, as what Eunice said, with the intercession, God is sometimes revealing to us we've got to do certain things. We've been cycling Utrecht 7 times. Yes, that has been done already. We walked around Utrecht. We've done this and we've done that. All different things. Nothing for us, but for God. As God was speaking, we were doing it. We don't know what's happening in the spiritual realm, but we know that we want to be obedient to what God is putting us, of what God is telling us, what we should do. And the third and the last thing is there's a prophetic urgency. Jesus is going to come back. And each and every day is going to be one day closer when he's going to come back. If you're going to speak to other people, and when you're sharing the gospel, or you're talking about if they believe in heaven or not, Jesus is going to come back. Is what I said in 2 weeks back as well. It's 5 times more in the Bible that we can read about the second coming of Jesus as what we can read about the first coming of Jesus. How important is it then that we should be ready for the second coming of Jesus? But not that we are saved, but that your neighbor who's not saved, and that family member who's not saved, and the guy who's working in a shop, that they are also saved, that they will have an opportunity to hear the gospel and to react on it. That God is also telling us to do. And God wants to work through us. He wants to give us the power and the authority whenever it is necessary. So it's not about the sound of the shofar, but it's that spiritual connection. That's where it is all about. The presence of God, the obedience of instruction, and the prophetic urgency. And we want to continuously, as shofar also, as a congregation, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We only want to do what the Holy Spirit is telling us, what God is revealing through the Holy Spirit to us. If it is salvation, if it is healing, if it's deliverance, that we are doing whatever is necessary to do. And that's what you will find, what I've spoken about it as well, in the courses as well. If people want to get saved, we can explain to them the gospel. We can disciple them. If they want to get healed, we are prepared to pray for them, and healing is taking place. Deliverance as well. If people are in bondage through sins in their own lives or in their ancestors' lives, we can help them, that they can be freed from that, and that they can be what God wants them to be. And then the last question is, do you see these things in your own life? Can other people see the presence of God in your life? Can other people hear the shofar, if I can put it that way, when you speak to them? Can they hear, but wait a moment, here is something over here. It's talking about God, and the person is full of it, wants to share it. Or are we afraid? Is God present where we are? Can people experience the presence of God where we are? Obedience to his instruction. Yes, maybe God has spoken to us, and we know, maybe aware of it. I had it once. That I prayed and I said, Lord, maybe you've spoken to me and maybe I can't remember it. Maybe I forgot about it. I don't know. But if you've spoken to me, I repent of it. And when I said, Amen, somebody said, God is calling you. And that's where I reacted on. That's where I'm standing over here. So God maybe spoke to you. God maybe told you, I'm calling you for something. And maybe you say, yeah, I know about it, but Lord, just wait. I first want to get married and have 3 children and have a car, and then, no. If God told you something, that you've got to do something, be obedient like Joshua, be obedient like Gideon, and do what God is telling you to do. And if you know there is something in your past and you haven't reacted on God's voice, go back to him, repent. God is there, he will forgive. Ask him then what you can do for him, and be obedient in that part. And then the last, the prophetic urgency. That we're not going to leave it as something for later. We hear it many times when we evangelize and you speak to people about belief and about going to heaven and things like that. Specifically the young people, that they say, ah, when I'm old, I'll think about it. Then I say, do you want to wait till you're as old as what I am, or what do you want to do? If a bus runs over you tomorrow, then you're not here anymore. Why don't you take the decision now? Why don't you listen now? Why don't you react now? There's a prophetic urgency in the sound of the shofar. Again, you heard the sound of the shofar, and we're going to hear it again when Jesus is going to come back.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share. Sin and darkness, you